We're back here, Christmas season, right, at First Wesleyan. I want to tell you, every year before this season starts, we ask the question, how do we make Christmas memorable at our church? Because we know we're dealing with the same story, right? It's an amazing story, but we know the same stories. It's a lot of the same songs. People know what they're getting into, and very easily we can just kind of pass through Christmas and it not be memorable. It's just another Christmas season. So how do we make it memorable? Because we believe that there's a chance this Christmas for God to speak something into our lives that he's never spoken before. That's what we have in Christ. And so we began to talk about it. What makes Christmas great? What are things that make this Christmas season so incredible? And one of those things was music. Music kind of sets the tone for life seasons, don't they? Kind of sets the tone for just how things feel, and Christmas is no different. Everybody has their favorite Christmas songs. So we thought we'd make a Christmas playlist, hence the name. No, it's no different than any playlist you use for working out, playing sports, a road trip. Maybe you're just sad and you want to be alone and you just listen to music. Or maybe it's playlists like a certain youth pastor brought up last week about a certain lead pastor who likes to wear certain tank tops. You can make playlists about anything because playlists are fun. They're just great. And we're hoping to use this kind of, this maybe new way to talk about it to be a conversation starter for this year. Now, as much as I want to make fun of Graham and get back at him, there'll be time for that. Really, he did a fantastic job last week. If you weren't here, but you know, he did a great job taking our first song. The song was, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It's a song that maybe you never listened to during Christmas season. Maybe you've heard it, but you don't really know much about it. And so Graham spoke about this idea of peace in the midst of Christmas. Because we talk about, you know, joy, being merry. We talk about peace on earth. But the question that was asked is, what if you don't feel peace right now? What if you don't feel peace in this moment? What happens when life circumstances don't push you towards feeling peace? What happens when life happens and it almost feels like our peace is being stolen day after day? Can I find peace in the midst of life that feels chaotic, turmoil, whatever word you want to put on it? And last week, that answer was a resounding, we believe yes. Because we believe we're the presence of God, peace can follow. That there's this gift we get at Christmas. We talk about the word Emmanuel. Talk about God being with us. It changes everything. So I don't know if you've been wrestling with that this week. I don't know if that's something that you've been thinking about. God, give me this peace that Graham was talking about, that song was talking about. Maybe you need to go back and listen to it because you weren't here. Because it was a great way to start Christmas, realizing I don't care what your life is like right now. With Christ, with his presence in our lives, peace can be found no matter what is happening. So he did a great job. But now we're moving to week 2 and song 2, and I've got a question for you. Have you ever had to or tried to pull off the perfect night for someone? Have you ever tried to pull off the perfect night for someone? I have tried, and it's tough. Last April, I had a decision to make, okay? Think back, April, decision to make, because Amber, my wife, she kind of had a big birthday coming up. We won't say what number the birthday was, but it was a big one. And so I knew and I wanted to celebrate that birthday. And I'm not very good at party planning. So I knew I needed to get ahead of this or I was going to make a mess of it. But what was I going to do to celebrate her big day? Well, I think the Holy Spirit was moving in Amber's favor that day, that season, because I decided it wasn't going to be just a day. We were going to go a little overboard, no pun intended, because we're going to celebrate a whole week. We're going to go on a cruise. Okay, this is what we decide. We're going to go on a cruise. It's right around Thanksgiving. Kids are out of school. It's her birthday's right there. We're gonna leave. And so that's what we did. Surprised her with a birthday cruise. And that's where I was. That's why I have any sort of non-paleness to me at this moment. Still a little pale, but I'm a lot more pale normally, right? My Canadian side comes out. We went, and it was fun. It was incredible. I mean, it was just, it was the... It was the perfect time to get away. It was the easiest. It was the easiest birthday party I've ever put on. The cruise line took care of the food. They took care of the entertainment. I mean, it wasn't the cheapest one, but it was the easiest one I've ever put on. But then I got thinking, not everybody can go on this cruise with us, and I want other people to celebrate with her. So what am I going to do here so that people can celebrate her? And this is where it not so easy or simple started. Because like I said before, I'm not the greatest party planner. They kind of actually stress me out. So I got thinking, so many details, expectations, just so much of everything. But I wanted this night to be perfect for my wife, so I got planning. And I asked her friends, hey, what, you got some ideas? I knew I wanted a sweet cake, so I asked someone in the church who's incredible at making cakes, and she pulled it off so good. And I had to get some karaoke, because Amber Moore loves some karaoke. And so as the night got closer, I started feeling a little bit more nervous, but I started feeling more excited. And her friends were amazing to come over and help me. That's the wrong line. They came over and set things up. And Amber walks in. Door opens. She sees the people. She sees the food. She sees the decorations, and we yell, "Happy birthday." And it takes her back a little bit. She has to kind of get a hold of herself and realize what is happening, and it was just a fun night. It was a great night that we had. And the thrill and excitement of trying to give her a perfect night was so worth it. And so I've just come off this experience. It's only been a couple of weeks, and we're talking about Christmas, and we're talking about songs, we're talking about this season. I just begin to think about nights. And I think about how amazing that night was when Jesus comes. But that's not really what grabbed me. There's another thought that grabbed me. What was that night like from God's perspective? What was that night like from God's perspective? I mean, he had been preparing this surprise party for so long. He had created the world. He had created people. So many years had gone by. He had seen their ups and downs. He had seen their hopelessness. He had seen their fears and their worries and their struggles. He had seen everything that they had gone through. And I can imagine, I can feel, I can sense, I guess the excitement that God must have had for this night that was coming. The big plan was about to be executed. People had no idea. It was going to blow their minds. It was going to be unforgettable. And I'm going to say it was the most perfect night ever. In Luke, in his gospel, he tries to kind of give us a little bit of a picture of this. And so I want to read that for you. In Luke chapter 2, he says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those in whom his favor rests.'" Think with me. All the planning. And there he is. Jesus' birthday is here. He has entered the world, and the world is changed forever. God planned and executed, pulled off the most perfect night ever. And so it got me thinking about these songs. Talking about our song for today from our playlist, and probably now you know, it's the last song we just sung. The last song we just sung, and it happens to be my favorite Christmas song. It gives me what they say, gives me all the feels. You know what I mean? I'm up here just taking it in. It's just like, the song just overwhelms me as I think of what all this means. I mean, for a lot of us, this season, it just happens and we know the songs, we know the scriptures, but like, I'm in this. I've been trying to imagine this all week and this song is sung and it overwhelms me. Does anybody else have a song their favorite? Anybody else have Oh Holy Night, your favorite song? I mean, it's incredible. Now, I know you know the song, but the song even means more to me as I learned the details behind the song. In 1847, there's this small town in France, and a church there wanted to have a poem read on Christmas Mass. And so the local priest begins to look around and think, who should we hire to make a poem or write a poem for us? And so they think of one. And they think of a man, his name is Placide Capot. Now this was an odd choice because Placide, he is not actually a religious guy. Maybe he's entered the building a few times, but he is not known for being a religious man. But they thought he is good at what he does. They thought he will be able to accomplish it. And so they talked to Placide and Placide says, yes, I will do this. So one day, he is on his way to Paris. He's like a horse and carriage kind of a situation. He was riding, and he begins to read the Gospel of Luke for inspiration. And he says that he becomes overcome with inspiration, and he begins to write. As he begins to think about that night, he begins to write. He writes. He writes, and he scratches out, and he writes more, and he probably throws some paper away, and he writes some more. And by the time he gets to Paris, on paper is a poem called Cantique de Noël. Now, he loves this. He loves this poem and thinks it can't just be a poem. We've got to turn this into something more. We've got to turn this into a song. So he thinks, who can I get to compose this? And so he thinks and he thinks and he thinks of his friend, Adolphe Adams. He's a Jewish man. Also another unlikely person to be part of the writing of this song. But as they get together and talk this through, they decide, yes, we can make this happen. And they get to work to take in the writings and with the music. And they compose this song. When they're done, they love it. And they present it to that church. And the priest loves it. And 2 weeks later, they sing it. The church loves it. The town loves it. The country begins to love it. It just spreads everywhere like wildfire. And they begin to sing this. And for a few years, they sing this. But then some priests find out who wrote this song. A man now considered himself an atheist, and a Jewish man made this song, and so they begin to bury it. They begin to smother it. They don't want the song to be sung anymore, and they do a pretty successful job, but there's a man named John Sullivan Dwight. He's an American. He hears about this song, and he gets it, and he reads it, and he loves it, and he brings it back to America. He translates it into English, and he's got a magazine, and he publishes it. And this is when America, for the first time, sees the song, O Holy Night. The song, the story doesn't end there, though. Because it was in 1906, a guy named Reginald Fendenson. He was a 33-year-old professor, and he was about to do something that people said was impossible. One night on Christmas Eve, 1906, into a radio microphone, he says, hello. Hello. And for the first time, over radio airwaves, a voice is heard. And there's stories of people on ships that were amazed to hear this. It wasn't Morse code. It wasn't other sounds. It was a voice. Hello. Hello. And as he speaks into this radio for the first time, he reads the Gospel of Luke. He calls it a Christmas concert. And after he's done reading, for the first time over radio airwaves, the first song ever sung, ever heard was O Holy Night. Christmas Eve, 1906. People hear this beautiful song about the perfect night ever. This surprise from God that was going to change everyone in the world forever. And I think back and I think of Placide Capot and I look at him and I'm like, He had to get himself into the context of what this what was saying in the Gospel of Luke. He had to think about what it meant for people who had put their total hope into one that was coming. And there they are, unexpected. Life was just happening. The world sits, and this is where he writes, it sits in its sin and error pining. He writes, it sits in its sin and brokenness, longing for more. Then without an announcement, without an invitation, a surprise from God pulls off this greatest night ever. And after he writes that line, he pens a line that maybe is the most famous line of any Christmas carol. He writes, as the world sits in its sin and error pining, longing, till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth. A world sits in its just brokenness and longing for more until he appeared. And its soul felt its worth. That is such a powerful line. To take this in, we know it, we've heard it. But what does that line mean? A soul felt its worth. Does it mean when God sent Jesus, we, our soul, felt the worthiness of that baby? Is that what it means? Or does it mean when God sent Jesus, we all of a sudden felt our worth? Which one is it? Or what's the answer to that question? I think the answer is, or could be, yes. I think the answer is yes, that when Jesus sent his son to earth, there is something in that arrival that our soul, whether we understand it or admit it, our soul knows the worth of this event. Our soul is connected to his arrival. This world is in a place that always seems to be searching and longing for more. We sit in our brokenness longing for more, and then Jesus comes. Then that day comes, that perfect night comes. And I believe whether we avoid it, run from it, reject it, it just is kind of nothing to us on the surface. I believe there's a deep longing inside of us of what happened that night. And when we do see it, we do recognize it, we do look at it, our soul knows how big that night really was. And that's why I believe Placide wrote after that, soul felt its worth. Says then a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks in a new and glorious morn. A world sits in its sin, longing for more, till he appears. The soul felt its worth, and then a thrill of hope comes over us. To a tired people, a physically tired, a spiritually tired people, and we just sense this new breaking of a new morning, a new beginning. He is the hope that allows a world to rejoice, so we know his worth. So yes, it does mean that. But what about us? What about the other side? When God sent us, do we all of a sudden know our worth? Do you think about this with this night? Does it give you a sense of worth? Let me ask you a question. When Amber walked into that party on November the 22nd, do you think she felt love and worth? Her friends spent time, money, energy to make that night happen. Her husband has spent time, money, energy, just thinking through to make a night special for her. Do you think there's some worth that comes with that? God had prepared all this. He sends his only son When we think about this amazing, holy, perfect night, I think something happens in our soul that when we truly embrace it, we understand our worth. It feels worth because we know in Jesus something big happened. And so Placide writes, a thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks in a new and glorious morn. When we feel hope in what Jesus did by coming from God who sent his son, there's a worthiness that comes over us, or it should. But why is there hope? Why is there hope in this? Why does the world rejoice? Why does it feel like a new beginning? Why does it feel like we have worth because of this special event? Well, I think Paul, in the book of Ephesians, gives us a picture. And this may never have been read to you as a Christmas passage. I guess every passage would be a Christmas passage, but you may never read this before, but I think Paul gives a great picture in Ephesians chapter 1 of all that we get on that Christmas night. What happened in this perfect surprise night? Let me read it for you, Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The one that he sent. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, the one he sent. In accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in the one he sent, Christ, to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Maybe not a Christmas passage, but I think it fits this so well. There are so many things in this. We realize what we got on that perfect night. There's so many things in this passage. We realize that it's almost like God prepared this special night for us. It was almost like a surprise party in our honor by God. So if we can stick with that theme, I think we'll see some things in this passage. Because there's some main things that happen when someone throws a party like that. There's some main themes, some things that make those parties great. You got this in your notes, just simple things. In those parties, there are special relationships, right? Think about special surprise parties. The people there are not random. They come because what they have in relationship with that person. There's a relationship component to any night that's a surprise party for someone. Think about this. For he chose us in him. Stop there for a second. For he chose us in him. Before the creation of the earth to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. This is not a passage that we can just run past and not think is a big deal. God created us. We are his. On that night, he came for us. He came because he loves us. He came because he wants us to be part of his family. I believe, and I'm more convinced than ever as I look around, that we are searching. People are searching. They're longing. They're wanting for something more. And I believe that that longing is directly connected to wanting to be adopted as part of God's family. We may not know it. We may not be able to put our finger on it. But I'm telling you, the longing that's deep inside of us that we see all around is because people are longing for something that's been put inside of us, of a desire to be adopted by God. And on this night, he did it for us. He did it for us. And our soul should feel its worth because God desires and has a special relationship with you and I. And on this night, he did it up big to show us. He chooses you. I'm not sure in Christmas, this Christmas season, but there may be someone who needs to be reminded that you are chosen. That he saw you before creation. That you are his. That he wants you to be part of him. That there's a special relationship that he has with you, and he wants an even deeper one. So he'll do whatever it takes to have that and put that in place. And he sends his son on the perfect night to solidify this ability to be in relationship with you. Maybe at Christmas, we have to remember that we're chosen by him. You are valued by him. You are not just anything. You are someone. He knows your name. And he came for you. So these kind of parties have special relationships, and he has one with you. But then there's something else, and this one may feel superficial, but a part of any party, what else is there? There's usually some amazing gifts, right? You've seen these parties. Maybe you've brought gifts to these parties. Maybe you've been the recipient. People bring gifts, and everybody likes a gift. I know it says it's better to give than receive, and I believe that's truth. And I know there's people in here on the surface like, I just don't like getting gifts. I don't like the attention. I don't want to feel like I owe somebody. I don't like, just, I'd rather give than receive. I get it, but just chill. Everybody likes to get something from someone, knowing that it costs them something to give it to you, right? Come on. Everybody likes to get a gift. And Paul writes in this. He writes about the depths of the gifts that come that night. Verse 7, in him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. His son, redemption, forgiveness, the riches of his grace. He is not holding anything back for this party. He's being extremely generous beyond what we deserve for this night for you and I. And I know that we talk about this a lot. It's basically a central theme. So it's like, yeah, Scott, I get this. But Christmas gives us an opportunity just to take it in. The lavishing of gifts on us. That he's just like, I love you. I have a relationship with you. I want you to be mine. And I'm just going to pour gifts on you. It's the perfect gift. Someone who has everything. It's the perfect gift for someone who has nothing. It's the perfect gift that's remembered after the party is done and that people are gone. It's the gift that you know cost someone dearly, but they gave it to you and you know it. It just makes you feel worthy. And so at Christmas time we go, man, like this is too big of a gift. God, like I'm sitting here weary. I'm sitting here in my brokenness. I'm sitting here just being me. And I think about that perfect night where you send your son. And the gift that we get, we can't underestimate it at Christmas time. This is what we get. And then the last one. At any party, what makes it amazing is the lasting memories. What makes these parties amazing is lasting memories. When you throw someone a party, you just want that person or those people involved to have a great time and to never forget it. And in Jesus' coming, what I've already read, Paul. Write something that's understated, maybe forgotten, maybe gets lost in all the other gifts. He writes in verse 8, with all wisdom and understanding, get this, God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity in all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. This night is so memorable because this is when it began. You always remember where the beginning was, right? This is the night where it began. This is the night where God showed his hand of his plan. In this moment, God says, you may not have known my will. You may not have known my plan. But here it is. I'm putting it right in front of you. When we look at Scripture, when we see this story, where we see in this moment where God wants to be interactive with you and me. He's revealing the story of unity between heaven and earth, him and humanity, that he wants to get into the thick of it with us. The week that was throwing this party for Amber, she noticed that I was a little stressed. It's more than that. There's other things, but she noticed I was stressed. But I couldn't tell her why I was stressed. But that night when she walks in and sees what's going on, she's like, oh, this is the plan. This is what you've been up to. And so many people have been waiting, wondering, God, what are you up to? I'm just waiting for you to do what you said you're going to do. We don't know the plan. We don't know the will. We just trust. And then he sends Jesus. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is your perfect plan. This is your will. I'll never forget this. Because this is the moment it began. Jesus pulls off the perfect night. And I think when it comes to this, he's the only one that could put off something this special. And today's purpose is for us to sit back and take in the magnitude of the perfect night thrown for you and me. To stop for a moment, to just take in how perfect, how necessary that night was, that it began everything that you and I sit in today. But how do we respond to that? How do we respond when someone throws this perfect event for us? Placide Capot put it in these words. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night. Oh, night divine when Christ is born. How do we respond? It's a feeling of worth. It's acknowledgement of his greatness. It's just taking it in and falling on our knees in worship because Christ was born for you and I, and nothing is going to be the same ever again. And I say to you today that I don't know where you are in life, but you may be weary. It may be a physical, just you're tired. It may be a spiritual, you're just tired. You've been beat down. You don't know what you believe. This moment we can go, God, I'm tired, but I see that you chose me. My world is, it's just messy, or just, it just, it's chaotic. As Graham spoke last week, just a turmoil. But I know you chose me. So in that choosing, I find a thrill of hope. A thrill of hope because of the gift you know he brought. And then that gift, you know what comes of that gift is a new morning, a new beginning, a new possibility, a new more that we all been searching and longing for in life. And today, I just want to say, can we not forget? Can we not let this month get past us and not take a chance or not take a moment to just let that hope just come from the depths up inside of the hope of what can be? Can we take a moment just to let this amazing gift just embrace it and go, God, what I have from you just lavished on me. You're going to be giving gifts to people this season, and they will not compare to how God has lavished his gifts on me, on you. And that we don't get through this season and forget the cliche of the reason for the season, right? It's not just because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing for you and me. It's what fills us up with the spiritual blessings from heaven that God wanted to instill in us. And you get that because of one perfect, holy night that changed your life. So we take a moment, you close your eyes. Will you, if you have your phone in your hand, will you get that out of your hand? Just, we don't need notes for this. Just close your eyes for me. Can we just take a breath and just take this in? Can you take in the amazing gift that you have been given? Are you feeling tired right now? And you're sitting in your seat and all you can do is think about what you have to do. Can you just stop for a second and think about all that's been done for you? Can you stop for a moment and just take in these words? The perfect night was pulled off for you because you are loved. You are chosen. You are his. He's adopted you into him. And maybe someone in this room, you have just walked away and you're like, I don't want to be part of that family. And God maybe is calling back to you and go, come back to this family. I'm here waiting for you. Come back, come back, come back. The same gifts I've always wanted for you, I still have them. Redemption, forgiveness, riches of my grace. Can we just pause for a second? Take in the perfect night. Because when we leave here today, I want our life to be one of worship, where we fall on our knees in how we live because of that holy night. God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus. You prepared the perfect time where heaven and earth collided. You prepared the perfect time where you and humanity collided. You prepared this night, and it was a surprise, and it was special, and it was for us. And God, when it happened, we know your worth, that you changed everything. But God, we also felt our worth, because you wouldn't have done this if you didn't love us. You wouldn't spend everything on us if you didn't think we were special. So God, we receive that today, and we give you back praise. We give you back praise with our lives. We give you back praise with how we treat others. We give you back praise in honoring you this Christmas season. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for that perfect night. Amen.